Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved. We are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Today, we are going to continue our diverse family series with single-parent families. I had the privilege of interviewing Lori Way, a friend of Teen Life who has a lot of experience and advice for this topic. It was a great time. This interview was full of educated advice and tips along with just raw and real information on what is going on in single-parent families. This is a great podcast for anyone going through the journey of single parenting, but also for anyone and everyone who wants to be equipped with walking alongside single-parent families. We hope that you enjoy and gain something from this interview today. I know I did. Let's get to it. Okay, so we have Lori Way here. Lori, I'm so thankful that you're here today on our podcast. So let's start off by just telling me a little bit about your background and why this particular diverse family is something that is close to your heart.
Okay, so when I was 22, I found out that I had an unexpected surprise, a beautiful little girl, and I single-parented her for 13 years, and that road was not easy, and there were like so many different aspects that played into that, and I just really love to share my heart with how I made that through and help other single parents and other single moms, because I've walked alongside a lot of them. And so my heart is just really for single parents in general, and learning how people around them can support them in the right way and just really lift them up to where they can be everything that they're designed to be. And so that's kind of why I am where I am. And I am married now, but I will never forget those 13 years of what I walked. And I want to be able to support in any way that I can, because it wasn't easy and I had a lot of support. So that's kind of my story and kind of where I come from.
So this is close to my heart. We talked about this off the air, but is that I come from a single mother as well that I have a great relationship with still. And I look back at how she parented, and I'm just so amazed by all the things that she had to go through. And even though she wasn't perfect, obviously, those are the kind of things that I even look back on as a parent myself and take from, and just I'm just so thankful. So on that note, how did you parent in the midst of your circumstances?
Okay, so that's kind of a loaded question. There's a lot that goes into parenting in general, but there's really like a... It depends on how many kids you have. It depends on how your single parenting situation is. We've got some people that are single parents. They just had children and they were never married. We have some that are trying to co-parent with another parent that's healthy, and then we have some that are in toxic situations trying to co-parent. And so I can answer how I parented in my situation, but I also think about all of those other aspects that kind of play into it. So I think there's not really like one answer to that question. I think how I parented is I just had to roll with the punches. I had to look at each situation individually, and I had to stop and actually ask myself, like, how am I going to get through this? And I had to give myself legitimate answers. And then I had to be teachable. And I had to be open and willing to like seek help from others. As like, if I didn't have the answer to this question, who did have the answer to this question? Who can support me in this situation? Whether it be needing additional childcare so that I could go to work, or whether it be somebody that my daughter could look up to in a particular situation because I didn't have strengths. I know that I struggle with structure, and so I leaned on the school to like provide Bailey that structure. And then I looked for resources to help me like organize my night. How was I, you know, coming home? What was I doing that was going to benefit or support her? And, you know, but that's not always feasible with people's work schedules. And, you know, so I think you really just have to, my biggest piece of advice, you've got to stop, look at your situation. Write down where you're at sometimes. Sometimes you just got to journal and say, okay, how am I going to solve this? What resources are out there and what can I do?
Yeah, because the most important part is making sure that the child is getting what they need. And sometimes the hard part about that is realizing that what you're doing is stopping that to actually happening. So you kind of touched on this a little bit. How can we, like, from the outside looking in, support single parent families in this situation?
Okay, so I think one of the biggest things with being a single parent is there's like a label that comes along with it. Mm-hmm. When you look at a single parent, a lot of the times the first question that pops into somebody's mind is how did they end up in this situation? And it sometimes can create a view that we're less than. Mm-hmm. And so we're already trying to balance everything all on our own because we feel like we have to carry the weight of it all. And I'll tell you, like, social media and all this other kind of stuff has added to all of that.
Sure.
Because we're supposed to be able to do it all. And we see people doing it all. And so it's real easy as a single parent to feel less than. Mm-hmm. So I think supporting from the outside in is letting us know it's okay to ask for the things that we need and not making us... Don't look at me and say, oh, she's a single parent. And don't look at me and say, oh, I feel like I need to give them everything. Sometimes we just need encouragement. Now, you know, obviously help with paying bills and things like that when we're really struggling. There's resources. Like, I'm a huge advocate of support groups within the church. Mm-hmm. That's where I gleaned the most from mm-hmm. when I was parenting. I had an amazing church that I went to that had back to school days and Christmas that they provided for my kids. And so don't be afraid to make sure that the people around you know of those resources. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a church. There's other resources mm-hmm. out there too. That just happened to be where I gleaned the most from. But I think the biggest thing is look at us like we're human beings. Mm-hmm. Treat us like we're just people. Don't look at us for our situation. And, you know, lift up our kids, you know, make them feel good about themselves. Yeah. But don't hesitate to say, hey, I really want you to know if there's something that you need right now, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And sometimes I had neighbors that would just show up with a meal and it just happened to be the right time. So keep those kinds of things in mind. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes just showing up with groceries, it just happens to be the right timing at that point.
Yeah.
Hey, I really felt led to make sure that you had this.
Yeah, you kind of touched on this, but I know, so I was a teenager of a single parent, and you only had about 1 or 2 years of a teen single parent situation until you got remarried or you got married. But what can we do? So you talked about bringing groceries, bringing food. What is some other things that we can help support the teenagers who kind of get lost in this sometimes? Like, I feel like sometimes it's all about we need to help the parent. We need to help financially. We need to help whatever. What are things that we can do to make sure the teenager is being seen? You talked about reaching out to them specifically, making sure they have some sort of mentor or some sort of relationship with people. But what's some other things we could do to help the teenager?
Okay, so as a teenager, you're already just changing. And by the way, I was a teen of a single mom as well. So I do have the same walk there. I had people that just gave me a safe place to listen and mm-hmm. be. Like, you know, my mom was already struggling with divorce. I was 15 when we were going through the middle of this. I mean, you're dealing with, you know, hormones changing and your mindset, and they're just learning who they are. And I had friends that had moms where I would just sit and it was just a safe place to talk. You know, they made sure that their house was the house that I could be at where I felt safe.
Yeah.
And it was consistency too. Like, we crave that stability, mm-hmm. especially when there's not stability at home. And I always knew that I could go to my friends. I had three friends that were like my diehard girlfriends, and their moms are still my moms today. Mm-hmm. And I know that I can go to any one of them even now if my mom doesn't have the answer. And they would cover me, guide me, and they knew if something was bad enough, where to go to next. So, and they made sure, and I try to do that for my daughter's friends too, because we've got some situations where, you know, our house is a safe place. Mm-hmm. But I also let them know, hey, if it comes into this level or this degree, I do have to take it somewhere sure. else to make sure you're safe. And so I think if we can provide that for these kids, whether it be having them over for a movie night or a pizza night, or just knowing that they have, or somebody who is good at math and they mm-hmm. have a safe place to come and do their math homework. Because I don't understand this new Common Core math. Do any of us that are like above 30?
No. No, we just remember math.
Carry the one, man. Carry the one. But I mean, I think just really it's just overview. Look at who your friends are and what they might be struggling with and find a resource. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that might be, hey, come over and study. We're practicing, you know, we're going over this history exam with, you know, our son, mm-hmm. you know, would your son like to come over and review?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Just, you know, make sure consistency and making sure you're mm-hmm. available.
I think the one thing that, not the one thing, one of the things that I needed when I was that age was, like you were saying, I saw my mom and my dad too going through a lot of hurts and a lot mm-hmm. of things. So whenever I was struggling with things or whenever I had problems, I didn't want to add to their plate. And
yes.
so sometimes having that person, whether it's a youth minister or a mentor from school or just another adult to kind of bounce things off of, it helps you, you know, because we can be more real with that person too. Especially if you are a teenager listening to this, or if you're a parent of a teenager who's going through this, sometimes we don't want to say what we need to say to you directly because we just need to word vomit what we're struggling with. And sometimes just saying it out loud answers the question, or at least diminishes it a little bit.
Yep.
But if you put those words out there to the parents, if your teenager is looking for people to talk to and they don't want to talk to you, they may just be trying to protect you a little bit. And that's okay. Like, I mean, obviously this is so cliche, but it takes a village even more in these situations. In my case, I needed positive male role models in my life. And so I'm very thankful that I had a few of those come around. The other thing that I think I did not see as much that I wish teens saw more of is healthy relationships.
Oh, yes. I never had an example of that.
You know, and that's not a shot at anybody that I was involved with or even my own parents. But I think just every example of a healthy marriage or a healthy relationship is going to help your teenager whenever they are starting their own relationships and thinking about their own marriages and stuff like that. And so surround them with as many of those things as possible, because it's not going to hurt to have more and more of that stuff. If anything, it's just going to give you more of a chance to give them what they need down the road. What do you wish people knew about your family? Like, we kind of talked about the stigma. What do you wish they knew about your family?
You know, I kind of touched on this a little earlier. I think my biggest thing is we're not less than.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of the biggest things that I had a hard time overcoming, helping people understand. You know, I'm still Lori.
Mm-hmm.
I still have giftings and strengths, mm-hmm. and I still can work hard, and I can still do these things. And my daughter is, my daughter can do these things,
mm-hmm.
and we can do it together. You know, like I said, there is still, even though it's more common now, there is still a stigma that attaches to that. And I just want, don't look at us for our situation. Mm-hmm. Look at us for us.
Yeah.
And that I think is what I wanted people to know the most, about us. So when I was looking at that question, that's kind of where I came up with. And, you know, just treat us like any other friend.
Yeah. I think if you're listening to this and you're the outside looking in, like, as much as I would love to say, like, I would love to have more happy, healthy relationships and less broken families and less, that's just not the reality we live in. And, you know, as a former school teacher, more and more every year I'd have students that came from single parent homes or broken homes or multi family homes, stuff like that. And it's just, we need to do a better job as a whole of providing that support for this need that is happening in our culture. Like you can talk about all the things that we want marriage to be and that we need it to go back to the way it was. But I mean, the reality is that one, the way it wasn't always good. And the where we are now is not that. So trying to have a place for people to get the help they need in this society is what we really need to be doing.
Yeah. There needs to be a culture shift. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that I see. We need to start adapting to, how do we break the chains? Because when we look at it, it's not just, I mean, it is about shifting, you know, how these teens view marriage, but it's also shifting how these teens view relationships with mm-hmm. all of the people around them. You know, the teen years, they're pivotal years. Mm-hmm. They are like, I'm trying to look for the right word. It really, the teen years really help them structure and learn who they are and who they want to mm-hmm. be. And the more that they're around somebody who is emotionally healthy and spiritually healthy, and, you know, they understand that, they learn that self-confidence and that security within themselves, and they learn their identity. Mm-hmm. That helps them kind of walk forward and grow and mature in the right direction.
Yeah.
And so when they're seeing those examples, or two, if they're seeing those examples of how people are reacting to each other, whether it be in a healthy marriage or whether it be somebody parenting their child, mm-hmm. You know, the right way, those little things are going to stick because they stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another thing that I kind of forgot to touch on when we talked about, you know, parenting as a single parent, and I don't know if you can like edit or shift this or place it or whatever, but it just came to mind. Let's not be afraid to say we're sorry to our kids. Mm.
That's huge.
Let's not be afraid to stop and say, hey, I messed up.
Yeah.
That has been a game changer for me with my now 20-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I did that as a single parent, and I have done it even further on. But it has made her realize that it's okay to be teachable, to make mistakes, to be able to come forward and say, hey, I messed up. What can we do to fix this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she understands that there's still consequences that come along with it. But setting that example when we make mistakes is huge for our kids, yeah. especially for our teenagers, mm-hmm. where they instantaneously want to make a mistake and hide it and feel shame.
Yeah. And I think also it keeps your teen or your really any kid from putting your spouse or your marriage on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Because that when things inevitably do crack or break or fall completely apart, it's not as earth shattering for them.
Yeah.
Just to kind of show them that like, hey, like, yeah, like in my case, yeah, I made a mistake. Like I had a lot of mistakes, and that's why we are where we're at now. And the same with my mom, my dad. And I just think acknowledging that and just showing them how, like one, how to like humbly walk through that, how to spiritually walk through that, and how to lean on whatever you might like in our case, lean on God in that situation.
Yeah.
And that way it helps teach them that when they are going through problems and when they're older, that's what they need to be leaning on or doing what they can to make sure that they're being mentally healthy. Yeah. So that's the most important thing, is that our mental health is where it needs to be in whatever stage of life we're in.
Exactly. And there's going to be those days, I mean, especially with single parenting, you're carrying the entire load.
For sure.
And, you know, sometimes with help, sometimes without help. And then, you know, we're dealing with a huge broken school system right now that's really struggling. Mm-hmm. And you've got your teenager that is going to school every day facing these things that we never thought we would ever face as teenagers. And then they're coming home to you carrying that weight, and you're worried about them there. There's going to be a snap mm-hmm. at some point. There's going to be a pop off. There's going to be, you know, something where you get easily frustrated with, and grant yourself grace.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing the absolute best that you can in that situation. It's a rough ride. Mm-hmm. It is. And it's okay to like admit that it's a rough ride without feeling defeated.
For sure.
So, you know, just know that it means a whole heck of a lot to your kid when you sit down on their bed and you go, hey, I'm really sorry. Mm-hmm. I snapped and I shouldn't have. And I'm really going to work on that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get better.
Yeah.
It creates a trust where your kid can come and talk to you too, because mm-hmm. they know you're real.
Yeah. So let's shift to that. So we are at Teen Life. We do work with schools pretty openly, and we have a lot of school staff that listen to this podcast. So what, as a single parent or a parent in this situation, what can schools do to kind of help you in this situation as a single parent? Or what have you seen that maybe schools need to do or should do in this situation?
So I think number one, communication is key. Communication from the parent to the teacher about the situation that you're in, mm-hmm. as best as you can. But I think when these teachers are reporting back to us what our kids need as much as they can, just sending me an email saying, hey, your daughter wasn't in a great emotional state today. Mm-hmm. And I know you teachers already have a lot on your plate, and y'all are already fighting to support our kids. So we as parents can, reach out, hey, is there anything that can be shifted or changed? But I think the big thing is communication. Mm-hmm. Let us know what's happening so we have an opportunity as a parent to shift it.
Yeah, and I'll tack on to that too. When I was going through my single parent journey, obviously there's some caveats to this, and there's sometimes legal situations. But the thing that I needed most from schools as a single parent was, if you're communicating about my kid, I need it to be me and my kid's mom in this situation.
Yeah.
And again, I know that there's some stickiness to that, and there's some times that you can't do that as a school staff. But I never wanted to be felt like I was kept in the dark, or that the person I'm co-parenting with had more information than I did, or had because that's where insecurity and doubt creeps in.
Yep.
And as a single parent, like that's damaging big time to have any insecurity and doubt. And so I think as a school staff, just making sure that you are aware of the home situation, which most of you do a great job of that, and just making sure that if you do have a teenager who is being co-parented, to just keep everybody in the same loop. That goes big for me whenever teachers email me and my kid's mom as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Keeping your contacts updated and having your group chats and all of that stuff together. I did experience that too when I had my older daughter, where her dad was being communicated to more than I was. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, part of it was he's working so much, he didn't have time to check the email. Mm-hmm. So he definitely didn't have the time to forward it to me. Yeah. And so it was really, important to make sure that everything was CC'd in on mm-hmm. those emails, or that the school is, making sure that they've got all the correct contact information.
Yeah,
that's really important.
And just realizing too, going back to schools, that you said this earlier, and I love the way you said it, that they're carrying all the load most of the time. Even if they are co-parenting, if the two co-parents are still most of the time working individually and carrying most of the load themselves. And I remember when my mom was going through this, like just getting us to school at three different schools was the biggest challenge. And so just reminding, we talked about this in the other podcast of this diverse family series, but just kind of reminding yourself as a school staff that not everybody is coming here with the cookie cutter situation, and yep. having some empathy with that as well.
Yeah, I think I see a lot of stories where teachers are really recognizing this when it comes to particular mm-hmm. students, and they'll stop and say, hey, do you need a moment this morning? Mm-hmm. Because it is really hard to get, it's hard to get your kids off to school with two parents. Mm-hmm. I did that this morning.
Yeah.
And, and I remembered what it was like to get, and I only had one daughter. Mm-hmm. There's so many parents out there that are parenting more than just one, and it's hard. So, and the kids feel that stress and that anxiety, and then they're getting into the classroom, and that's how they're starting their day. And we're doing our best at home to keep that from happening. Mm-hmm. But man, when you're carrying the load by yourself, it's hard. So, I love that I'm seeing a lot of teachers. They tune in. They see. And so if they know that there might be stressful situations going on at home, and they see that, they take the time to stop and give them the space to process and mm-hmm. get their mind in the right mindset before they start their day.
Yeah. So Lori, the last thing I have is just, is there anything else that you want to kind of like share as a guidance to any single parents listening out there, or just anybody that might need to know more about what it's like to be a single parent in these situations?
I think the biggest thing is the waiting season is hard.
Mm-hmm.
You may feel like this is going to be forever, but I just want you to know that being a single parent doesn't define you. Mm-hmm. That's not who you are. That's not the plans that are laid out for your life. There are bigger and more wonderful things for you to do. And being a parent is, I mean, it's a precious gift. And that is a calling, 100%. But I just don't want you to forget who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are gifted and talented and innovative. And all of those things that you learned being a single parent, those are all going to come into play. Because I'm telling you, I gleaned so much from that season, even though it was hard. And I have the ability to do things now that I never thought I'd be able to do. And so I want you to try your best to not look back on the hardships, but to look back on the good things that you learned and gained and how that can be used each and every day forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to forget that you're amazing and that you can get through this and, you know, and just lean into those that are willing to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, prayer and trusting in the Lord was my key. Mm-hmm. That was where I was at. And that's what I still cling to today. So that's where my turn took. But I want you to lean into the resources and the support. And it's easy to see the unhealthy quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I just pray that each and every one of you find somebody that is healthy, that can be there for you and guide you and support you.
Yeah. And you're going to see the fruits of your labor eventually.
Like, 100%.
And when you do, you're going to realize like, oh, okay, like this is all worth it. And it's really going to, like, you're going to be able to kind of sit back and realize, like, okay, this is why I went through this. So.
Yep. And I don't know about you. I look back and I look at the things that my mom did and I'm appreciative of it.
No,
so
100%.
Know yeah. that in the moment you may feel like you're lacking and you're not doing enough for your kids, but they truly, truly, and I'll tell you, I see that from myself because I look back at everything my mom did and how hard she did things and I'm thankful for it. And my oldest daughter communicates to me
mm-hmm.
the good. And so kids do remember the good more than they do the mm-hmm. bad.
For
so,
sure.
you know, it will eventually, once they hit a particular maturity level, they're going to be able to look back mm-hmm. and go, man, she's amazing or he's amazing. I can't believe that they did that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Lori, thank you so much for joining us today. I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. It was a joy.
Thank you again to Lori Way for coming on to our podcast and giving us great insight to single parent families. If this is something that you think would be helpful for a friend, go ahead and text this episode to them and give them the resource they might need. Please subscribe and follow us on social media and review us on your favorite podcast app. Next week, we're going to be closing out our Diverse Families series with the Blended Kingdom Families podcast to talk about blended families. It's going to be a great time. We hope to see you there next week.